The Los Angeles Camp Meeting by Mrs. E. G. White. September 6, 1901. We had an excellent camp meeting at Los Angeles. The interest was good through the entire meeting. I spoke 7 times, and the Lord strengthened and blessed me as I bore a message to the people. And though I frequently spoke for more than an hour, the people listened attentively, seeming eager to catch every word. At this meeting, the seeds of truth were sown, and if watered with earnest afterwork, they will spring up to bear fruit. I have faith to believe that many to whom in the past the world has been everything will realize that eternity demands all their attention. As the Holy Spirit impresses minds, presenting glimpses of another and a better country, and a city whose builder and maker is God, things that have been afar off will be brought nigh. From longing, unsatisfied minds will come the question, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Luke 18, verse 18. And the loving Redeemer, who gave his life as a propitiation for sin, will respond, "A new heart will I give you." Ezekiel 36, verse 26. A new life, inspired by Christ, will begin. As the divine power of truth is seen, new thoughts will be awakened. During a camp meeting, many are convinced that they have listened to the truth as it is in Jesus. The conviction of the Spirit is strong upon them. The truth works to break the spell of the enemy of righteousness. But all the power of heaven cannot change the heart unless man himself acts his part, working in harmony with God. 1,000 times more conviction would not save the soul from the power of Satan unless man chooses Christ as his leader. Angels are constantly giving the invitation, "Come, for all things are now ready." Luke 14, verse 17. But they are not commissioned to force men to accept it. God earnestly desires all to accept this invitation, but he uses no force. He leaves man to choose for himself. Compassion and pardon await the repentant sinner. God stands ready to forgive when the heart is opened to the divine influence of his grace. But this grace is not, and cannot be, a substitute for repentance and confession. Grace and light can never convert the soul unless the human agent places his will on the right of right. The choice for Christ is made before the whole universe, before the angels who delight to serve God, and the angels who rebelled against his authority. Man's act in making this choice breaks the spell which has bound him to those who rebelled in the heavenly courts. The convicted soul turns to the stronghold, and God says, "Let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me." Isaiah 27, verse 5. This is the part the human agent must act. God has laid down the conditions. "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Philippians 2, verse 12, 13. The hardest hour of battle is the hour of resolve, when with firm, decided purpose the world is renounced and Christ is chosen. With anxious thought, the mind weighs the possibilities and probabilities. Those who choose Christ step from under the black banner of Satan, and angels welcome them as they take their stand under the blood-stained banner of Prince Emmanuel. Then begins in the soul a great moral revival, a revival shown by a reformation of thoughts, words, and actions. A spiritual revolution takes place. A soul is saved from death, and there is great joy in heaven. Sing, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear thou not, and to Zion, Let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Zephaniah 3, verse 14 to 17. Much depends on the work done after a camp meeting. During the meeting, many convicted by the Spirit may be filled with a desire to begin the Christian life. But unless there is constant watchfulness on the part of the workers who remain to follow up the interest, the good impressions made on the minds of the people will become indistinct. The enemy, full of subtle reasoning, will take advantage of every failure on the part of God's workers to watch for souls as they that must give an account. Earnest efforts must be made to lead men and women to place themselves on the Savior's side. In this work, there is need of divine help and untiring vigilance. No one is to sleep at his post of duty. Every capability must be put to use to win for Christ a victory against the power of darkness. The voice of duty is the voice of God. The gospel demands from Christians unreserved consecration of soul and body. The Lord claims the highest service which a human being, aided by divine grace, can offer. In childhood, youth, and age, human beings of every rank, high and low, rich and poor, belong to God. They are to withhold nothing from Him. Each one is to stand at his post of duty in the great enterprises of saving souls. Those who present the truth are to enter into no controversy. They are to speak the gospel with such faith and earnestness that an interest will be awakened in present truth. By the words they speak, the prayers they offer, the influence they exert, they are to sow seeds which will bear fruit to the glory of God. There is to be no wavering. The trumpet is to give a certain sound. The attention of the people is to be called to the third angel's message. Let not God's servants act like men walking in their sleep, but like men preparing for the coming of Christ. After a camp meeting, it may sometimes be difficult to hold the principal speaker for several weeks to develop the interest awakened. It may be expensive to retain the ground and to keep a sufficient number of family tents standing to maintain the appearance of a camp meeting. It may be expensive to retain the ground and keep a sufficient number of family tents standing to maintain the appearance of a camp meeting. It may be at a sacrifice that several families remain on the ground to assist the ministers and Bible workers in visiting the people at their homes, telling of the blessings received at the meetings and inviting them to come. But the results will justify the effort. It is by such earnest and energetic efforts as these that some of our camp meetings have been instrumental in raising up strong, working churches.